Hi, this is Pastor Paul Chappell here on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. I'm excited about the podcast ministry and the thousands of viewers and listeners who are hearing the Word of God through the ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church. Today we'll hear a special guest speaker whose message will be an inspiration to your Christian life. Thank you for being a growing Christian, and may God richly bless you today.
You can be finding Acts chapter 16 while you're doing that. Let me tell you a little bit about Japan, and even before that about Mongolia. This year already I spent several weeks in Mongolia. Missionary family Jason and Mary Ritchie that you all support. I went with Jason to Mongolia to help him get enrolled in language school and find a place to live and get some furniture and moved in and ready for his family. So Saturday before last, Jason and Mary and five children, the oldest was six, flew from Missouri to LA to Beijing to Ulaanbaatar in Mongolia. So they're there, and he's already started in language school. Pray for them. First time in my life I was able to witness to a bunch of Kazakhs, people from Kazakhstan who were over in Mongolia working, and that's also a Muslim country. And then I came back to the U.S. and 1 week later went to Japan. And I've always had a burden for Japan for the last 10 years since I've been going there multiple times a year. But to go out there and work with the team of our missionaries up in the north, on the northeast coast of Honshu, where that tsunami came in. If you can picture what happened in Joplin, Missouri, times 400 miles, you might have an idea of what happened on that coast of Japan. And there's just in places down in the major cities, Sendai and Fukushima, where the nuclear plants were at, the tsunami was 30 feet high. Up in the further north areas where we were working, in a place called Kesunuma and several other cities there, because they were a little bit set in coves or inland a little more, it funneled those waves to 90 feet high. And we were giving out food, blankets, kerosene, gospel tracts. We had a brand new tract printed up and gave out 200,000 of them. New Testaments, people were very open and taking them. But all I can say is I don't know that my heart has ever been heavier than it was there in Japan. We were out every day. We were sleeping on the ground in tents up on the mountain over that area. It snowed one night 4 inches on us. The wind was blowing, almost blew our tents down. But then every day we would go down to where the cities were destroyed. And every day we met people with stories of everyone in their family being killed. We were giving out food and tracts and things at one place. And as we were standing there, we noticed students begin to walk by and they had on their uniforms. And we were talking to some of the older people. And they said 70% of the students in that school had died in the tsunami. Now, I don't know if you can imagine what it would be like to be in the 30% who didn't die, but they're going back to a school where 3/4 of their fellow students died. And in that part of Japan, out of the 20,000 plus who died in the earthquake and mostly in the tsunami, very few, if any, of those people knew Christ. So we need to be praying for Japan still and for our people in America also who've been facing some real challenges with the weather and things. Next week we have Behind My Candidate School, and by this time 2 weeks I'll be back in the Philippines and down in Manila and Cebu City and down in General Santos with the Sisson family and then some other places. So pray for us as we go back to the Far East here in a few days. Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Let me read to you verses 1 through 4. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. You know, when I think about the goodness of God in my own life, I'm always amazed. My dad left my mother when I was just too little to remember. I never really knew my dad. He was out of the picture. My mother remarried when I was still a young lad, and I mostly stayed with my grandparents, who were good people, God-fearing people, hard-working people, but really we did not have family devotions and no emphasis on knowing God. So I'm telling you that so that you know the background I came from. But I remember thinking as a child, this is not the kind of home that I want to have. I saw the drinking, I saw the gambling, I saw the deceit, I saw the dishonesty. And God in His mercy let me hear the gospel and trust Christ as my Savior. As a lad of 12, I was not really discipled. I wish I had been, but at 16, God began to work in my life to serve Him, and God in His grace called me into His service. And I want to say to you tonight that I did not know much about God, nor much about the Word of God, nor much about the Christian family, but I had a burning desire in my heart to know Him more and to honor Him. And even as that lad, and way before I was married, I wanted more than an average, mediocre kind of a home. I wanted something that was genuinely deep and sincere in a place where we would have a concern for God's will and God's call upon our life. On Sunday morning, the pastor talked about real Christianity. Real, live, bone-deep Christianity that's active in the service of the Lord. And I want to share some simple things with you tonight, just in a moment. But before I get there, I have to tell you a little bit more of my story. In that time, God called me to preach at 16, and I didn't know anything about it, but I jumped right in and went to my pastor and said, "Preacher, I don't know anything about it, but I want to preach." And he said, "Well, we've got a cottage prayer meeting. We're going to have revival. Would you speak in that?" And I did, and that was 44 years ago, and I haven't quit since. But I discovered something in that time, and that something was the God of the Word and the Word that God gave us. I also discovered some great Christian books, and I didn't know anything about the home. I didn't know how to have a good home. I didn't know what to do. But I remember reading, just as a lad, young teenager, John R. Rice's book on the home. I noticed this week as I've been around that it is in the bookstore here, and I highly recommend it. So I found a young lady who had a heart like I had, a heart to serve God. And in a few days, in fact, we have our anniversary every year in the Philippines. So here in a few days, we will celebrate 42 years together. We have 5 children. We have 13 grandchildren. Our children are serving the Lord. All of our daughters are married to men in full-time Christian ministry. And what I'm going to share with you tonight is not, it's really very simple. But have you found that what is very simple in the Christian life is not always easily practiced? Or anyway, it's not always practiced. So in the book of Acts, in the verses we've looked at this evening, we're told about such a home where God was honored. It was Timothy's home. It was a home, and I noticed this as I read, where Eunice, the mother, and Lois, the grandmother, had a desire to teach this boy, Timothy, about God. It was in a home like that where a missionary could be reared. It was in a home like that where a preacher could be called. It was in a home like that where a Christian school teacher could have their heart touched at a young age, where a dedicated Christian could be reared. How did that happen? Let me share tonight some very simple things with you. I've already mentioned that, but these things that I'm going to share with you tonight, I believe will transform your life and your family if you will let them. Let me start with this one. Help your family to love and stay close to the book of books. This young Timothy, in the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:15, it says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Timothy learned and appreciated and associated God with this holy book that he's given to us. Friends, tonight, that is important. It is significant. How will we ever know how to serve God and to know about God if we don't spend time in His Word? Now, we will say amen to that. Everyone, most everyone here tonight would say amen. That's true. We need it. But here's the difficulty of it. How many of us really do it in our lives? And I wonder, I would not do it. I don't want to embarrass anyone, but I wonder if I said, how many of you have read the Word of God today? Many of you wouldn't, your hand would go up. Some others, you would be embarrassed that you haven't. But even more than that, how many of us take the time to read God's Word and teach it in our home? When I think about Timothy, can't you picture him sitting in his home as his mother and his grandmother recount the great stories from the Bible? And you can almost picture him as he's mentally camped out there on the bank. I just read it myself in my devotions this week. Camped out on the bank of the Red Sea. And the Egyptian army is coming up. And here are these poor Jewish people who are now thinking they're going to be released from slavery. But here comes the army behind them. And you can camp with Timothy on the bank of that river and see Moses hold up the rod of God and the sea open up and they'll go across on dry ground. You can almost be with Timothy as he sees Abraham walking by faith, looking for a city which has a foundation that most people here don't know anything about. This week also I read again, how many of you love the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis? I just read that, and you know, Joseph had the dreams of his brothers and even his mother and father bowing down to them, and they became angry, the brothers did, and you know the story how they caught him and put him in the pit and he was sold into slavery. And I just read this week again and almost wept when I got to that point where Joseph had been trying them, putting them to the test, and now they all come back bringing their brother Benjamin, and they're all in Joseph's palace, and they had eaten, and he had them sitting according to the order of their age, and they're wondering, how did he know this? And then you hear Joseph saying, I am Joseph. If we can just get that knowledge of the Word of God into our children, imagine Timothy listening to grandmother Lois tell about Daniel in the lion's den, and he may have been afraid as she told the story, and then he heard his mother read, or his grandmother read, my God has sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth. You know, family devotions can be a lot of fun. If you've ever tried it, our kids are different ages, so we sometimes had older teenagers, and then we had babies, and it was a challenge to try to have family devotions so everybody could get something out of it. And we were reading through the book of Proverbs one time for our family devotions, and our younger son, Robert, he's always been the interesting one of the family anyway, but I was reading the verse in the Proverbs where it says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. And I looked at Robert, and I could just see his little brain just turning in there, and he was trying his best to figure out what a wicked flea was. How many of you realize that reading the Bible and having devotions with your family can be one of the most exciting things in the world? Now, I know you're thinking, oh, Brother Godfrey, you don't know my schedule. I tell you what, we'll swap. And you keep mine, and I'll keep yours for a while. But here's the simple truth of it. We do what we really believe is important. And I want my children to be different. And I believe the thing that makes them different is having an intimate knowledge of the God of this book. Help your children, help your family to love the book. Help them to know it more than they know anything else in the world. Abraham Lincoln's mother said this, I'd rather Abraham Lincoln know the Bible than to own the biggest farm in Pennsylvania or to be the president of the whole world. And I say amen to his mother. Webster said, a man who's been through 1,000 high schools and university and does not know the Bible is not an educated man. What do we really believe to be important in this life? I believe it's knowing God and sharing that knowledge of Him with other people. I mentioned all my daughters are married to men in full-time Christian service. Now, you understand what that means. That means that they're not marrying for money. Brother Stone, 10 years ago, my middle daughter was married, and he had been the youth pastor, Brother Stone had, of my son-in-law for many years, and he came down and started the wedding, and I'd been to Japan and the Philippines and to China. I just had gotten back. I was still in jet lag, and Brother Stone started the wedding, and then I escorted my beautiful daughter, Benita, in, and he said, "Who gives this woman?" And I said, "Her mother and I," and then we switched places, and I was doing really good doing the ceremony till I started quoting Raptavian Fiddler on the Roof. "Is this the little girl I carried? Is this a little boy at play? I don't remember growing older. When did they?" And by then I was bawling. Everybody in the church was squalling. But I got over that, and I was doing really good with the rest of it. And then I got over to the vows. And someone told me later they'd never heard anyone joke in the vows before, but when I got to the part and it said, "For richer or for poorer," I said, "And there's no doubt which way this will be." So sometimes when we make a choice, it may be a choice that our children may not make all the money in the world, but I'd rather my children know God than have all the money they could have. Teach them about this book. When my wife and I, we just made up our mind. When we got married, I was young. I mean, I'm not even going to tell you how young I was. Except I was dad before I was 20 and grandfather before I was 40. We were too young to know anything much, except we did know we wanted to serve God. And I'd read the great books, Soul Winner's Fire, and a lot of books by Dr. Rice and books by R.A. Torrey and other men. And I found Herbert's story of the Bible. And it's just Bible stories. And we'd have devotions even when our kids were just babies. And even when it was just the two of us, we opened the Word of God. We did devotions for the family altar. We read Pilgrim's Progress together. We read Profiles in Evangelism that Fred Barlow put together, stories of great preachers and missionaries. I know that tonight what I'm preaching is not easy to do, and you can have all the excuses that you want, and I can have all the excuses I want, but our children will never succeed in the Christian life until we teach them the book. Amen. Good. Let me give you point number two tonight. Teach them to love and to know the book. Secondly, surround your family with the best Christians you can find. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." How did Paul know about their faith? I'll tell you how Paul knew about their faith. Paul had been in their home. He spent time with them. When Paul and Titus and Epaphroditus and other brethren were in town, do you know who invited them to their home? It was Lois and Eunice and Timothy, and Paul and these men would go over and they would talk. And this week, I've been here almost a week in town, and I've had meals with several people and staff, and I won't embarrass that one of the families here a couple of years back, he was over at our home and he said, "Well, why don't you come over sometime?" And I don't think he thought I would say, "We'll do it." And I said, "Well, we would love to." And so he invited us over, but he hadn't told his wife. And then he went home and said, "Dr. God," I wish people sometimes wouldn't call me that. But anyway, "Dr. Godfrey's coming." And she didn't. And so she was terrified till we got there. It was all right. You know what you need to do? You need to keep your children around the best Christians you can find. And you're in a good place, by the way, to do that. Did you notice in the verses that I read that this was not a home that did not have trouble and problems? We can all find a reason. We've got this difficulty, or we're facing that trial, or we don't have the money to do it. Or here was a home that had a pagan living in it. Here was a home where the man was not stepping up to the plate. It was grandmom and mother teaching Timothy. Here was a home with a pagan, a Greek, who probably didn't attend services. But Eunice and Lois had decided to surround Timothy with good Christians. And I believe that Timothy didn't have to look up to people who would be a bad influence in his life. I like sports. I like to hunt. In fact, places that we have lived, if you didn't hunt, you didn't eat. And when you hunt, you can find all kinds of things to eat in Africa. But I don't want my children to look up to hunters. And not, again, please understand, I'm not criticizing any of those things. I like to do some of them. But I don't want my children to look up and have for heroes sports figures and hunters and race car drivers. I want my kids to look up to men like Ron Bragg. You say, well, we don't know Ron Bragg. You don't, but I do. Brother Ron Bragg and his wife Donna and their family, they worked with us in Senegal in a Muslim country for 16 years. They had a house full of kids just like we did, and working and living in a place where my kids got to see their kids, and their kids were a good influence on my kids, and I'd like to think my kids were a good influence on their kids. And I'm just saying tonight, I want my kids to be around the best kind of people. I'd rather my kids have Rick Martin for a hero, or Bruce Rice, or Brian Sensis, or Dr. Don Sisk, or Pastor Paul Chappell, or Kerry Smith, or Pastor Christensen. I'd rather them have people like that for their heroes than all the famous people in this world. We still, I'm not even going to tell you my schedule because you wouldn't believe me, because when I tell it, I don't even believe it. Linda and I move out here in the fall each year, and last year I was here all fall and taught about 100 students in my three classes, but I was not here in church on the weekend the entire semester until after Thanksgiving. I taught 2 days, and then Thursday night I fly all night to somewhere the other side of the world or the other side of the country, and I preach, and then I fly back out here Monday and I do it again. So don't tell me about a busy schedule. But I want a family, and I want a schedule. Of course, I can do that now because my kids are all, they're gone from the home. But when our kids were in the home, we had family devotions with them, and we surrounded them with the best Christians we could find. Until this day, our home is constantly being visited by preachers and missionaries. The importance of Christian friends. And then let me give you point number three tonight, my last point. Help your family to love God's work. Now, how did Eunice and how did Lois do it? Let me mention just a couple of ways that they did it. I think, first of all, they did it by example. The greatest way to teach your children how to be a Christian is to be one yourself. I want my children. Now look, my children know that I am not a perfect man. My wife knows that too. And your wife knows that you're not either. And your husband knows that we are not perfect people. But I want my children to not have a doubt in their mind, but their dad loves God. And we do it by example. My children need to go soul winning with me. 40 years ago, I know I don't look as old as all these stories I'm telling. 40 years ago, I and my wife and another man and his wife, they ended up being missionaries to Japan, and then we ended up going to Africa. But we ran a bus route at Highland Park Baptist Church 40 years ago. We ran a bus route all the way down to Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia, and Chickamauga Battlefield. Now, Chattanooga's in Tennessee. The joke back in those days, we met Curtis Hudson's buses coming up out of Atlanta. That wasn't too far, too much of a joke. But the thing I want you to know about it, we ran a bus route. It took us 2 hours to run our route. We visited all day on Saturday, but we didn't go visit on Saturday. We took our kids, but without taking our kids with us. Our kids, our two older kids, we had two families. We got two kids that are older, and then we skipped 8 years and had three more. But our older kids, when they were just little, they could just barely stand up. You didn't have to have car seats and all. How many of you remember the days when the government didn't tell you when to sneeze or not? We ran that bus 2 hours, and the whole way we were getting kids and adults on that bus, and our kids were with us, and we sang "What Can Wash Away Your Sins" or "Rolled Away, Rolled Away," or we sang Christian songs. And my little kids, before they could talk good or stand up good, they knew how to sing all the choruses and all the songs. And we took our kids with us, and I think we need to keep our kids involved by example. When we were in Africa, our kids loved the Africans. I love telling, I've got pictures of it. I wouldn't even tell my stories about it and have pictures. A lot of our girls didn't play with baby dolls. They played with real babies. When our girls were in Africa, they'd come into our house and they'd have a little African baby tied on their back and its little head just flopping around. And they loved those. Some of these folks know what I'm talking about. They loved those Africans. You know why they loved the Africans? Because mom and dad loved the Africans. Every time we came home on furlough, you all think the goodbyes are just on this side, but the goodbyes here are nothing to the goodbyes there when it's people you've won to Jesus and discipled and been working with, and there you come, you're going off and leave them for a while, and they follow you all the way out weeping and crying. I like to call missionary kids not MKs, but I like to call them KMs, because they're really not just missionary kids, they're kid missionaries, because they're right in the work and involved as they should be. And I believe by example, our children ought to hear me and my wife, and they ought to hear you and your family brag on the Lord and brag on your pastor and brag on your Sunday school teacher and brag on God's work. Isn't it sad that most kids don't hear that? What they hear is, "Man, I didn't like that sermon." Or, "Boy, that person that sang today," or that, can I just give you word of advice? Leave all that stuff at home. Leave it somewhere else. Don't take it home. When you go home, brag on God's work.
Amen.
Encourage your preacher. Talk about the missionaries. So you do it by example. Number two, you do it by teaching. Sometimes we live the Christian life better than we teach it to our children. We go to church every time, but when our kids get a little older, we don't expect them to be there. I'm being very blunt tonight, but I believe if we do that, we're saying, "I do it because it's old-timey and it's tradition and I've always done it, but it really is not that important for you." And we need to be careful that not only do we teach them to love God's work by example, but we also teach them to love God's work. As the twig is bent, so shall the tree be. I want my kids to love God, but I want my kids to love their pastor. I want my kids to love other missionaries. I heard someone say not so long ago, another preacher actually said to some other missionaries, "If I were going to the mission field, I'd stay away from those missionaries because they'll discourage you." And I was in a meeting. We were having question and answers. And I didn't want to be controversial. But when my time came, I said, "I love other missionaries and I enjoyed working with them. And my experience with other missionaries and preachers has been very good." So you don't know so-and-so. All right, leave that person alone. But I'm telling you, when you're in your home, lift up God's people. Lift up God's man. Lift up those missionaries. Lift up the Sunday school teacher. We do it by teaching. And then lastly, we do it by experience. Did you notice that Lois and Eunice put Timothy to work? They let him go with Paul. My wife and I are leaving in a few days going to the Philippines. We have three young people going with us. One of them is, one young man is 17. He'll turn 18 on this trip. But his mom and dad will have to have a notarized letter to give to me to give this young man permission to travel with us. Do you send your kids with the missionaries? You say, "Well, God might not call them to be a missionary." You're right, He might not. But then He might. Lois and Eunice sent their son with Paul. They encouraged him to be circumcised to help prove that he meant business for God. To what extent will we go to show we belong to God and have a clean and pure life? Now I'm almost finished. Here is the challenge to all of us tonight. We are going to rear a missionary in our homes. The question is, either we will rear a missionary for mediocrity, a missionary of half-hearted Christianity, a missionary even of sin, or we can rear a missionary or a preacher or a Christian school teacher or a dedicated Christian worker for Christ. What kind will it be? Three simple things tonight. Nothing complicated, nothing probably you have not heard before. But I wonder tonight how many of you practice having a regular family altar. You know, I say kids. How many of you older people understand that when they're 40 years old, you still call them your kids? I want my children to know that their dad and their mom loves God, and I want them to see me on my knees. I want them to see me loving their mother. I want them to know that even though they're out of our home now, our home is still a home that honors God. What kind of a home do you have? Is it a home where you're encouraging your family to love and know the Bible, to associate with the best Christians you know, and to be in the thick of God's work?
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist.